living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, kiddos, you can go upstairs, first to fifth grade. And take rest of you, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 9. Spend a little time there this morning with a few other things, a few other nuggets. Well, next month we are going to spend our month on kind of our annual focus on missions. So we're going to get some updates from the three guys that we're helping out on the front line, so to speak, of the mission field. Pastor McQuan will be with us on Sunday morning to give us an update. Dan Miller, who works over in the Middle East with Muslims, he'll be with us on a Thursday night, November 6th, I'm hoping. He tried to call me from France, and I couldn't connect, so I'm hoping he's still planning on doing that. But we make sure you guys know about that. Love it if you'd come and fellowship with us on Thursday, November 6th here. We'll tell you about it. And then Felipe Colby's coming from Honduras. He'll be with us on November 16th, Sunday morning, tell us all about the happenings down there in Honduras in his eyes. And, of course, you heard about the way we're starting the month of missions by doing missions with Connection Sunday. And please take the invitations. I've got lots of them. They do no good here. So take them with you and invite someone. I promise you this. If you invite someone to church next week and bring them, I will share the gospel and give them a chance to trust in Jesus for life. So invite and see what God will do. Don't end up in Possum Neck, Mississippi. So today we're finishing up this series. We've done a month-long series called Getting in the Flow on the Spiritual Discipline of Prayer, and I hope that has encouraged you, challenged you, just caused you to want to grow in our prayer life with God, because it's so fundamental and foundational to walking with Him. So today, titled the message, The Power of Prayer. I want to pray before we get into the Word. Heavenly Father, I'm this morning very, very humbled to be standing here before these people. I thank you for your mercy and grace in my life. Thank you for overwhelming me. Thank you for calling me and my family to help grow a new church. You are good. And I wish, I hope that I can spend the rest of my life telling people about your goodness. You have given us a treasure in your word to read and meet with you and hear from you and to know how you want us to live, things you want us to do. Lord, let it be a sweet time today in your word. Let it encourage our hearts to grow in this discipline of prayer that oftentimes seems so hard to do in the busy life that we live, especially in in the church when we come to do it together. But Lord, I know you called us to lean on you, to watch you work here, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So Lord, do it again right now in our midst. Tune our ears to your voice. Encourage our hearts with your presence. Cover our failures with your grace. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, isn't it really an incredible thought that God, the Creator, the Master of the universe, invites us to pray. He invites us into His presence to unload what's burdening us, to talk to Him. And He hears. And He responds with unmistakable mercy and grace. Isn't that incredible? This prayer thing, it's not a religious activity. It's a relational activity. And it involves us turning aside and focusing our thoughts and hearts on Him and listening to Him and talking to Him and then growing together in that as a church. My house should be called a house of prayer for all the nations. Prayed that this morning before we came down. That this would be that kind of a place. And last week, we saw how much help God has given us to ask for His help. You know, Jesus gave us words to pray, or that showed us a way to pray. And then the Bible recorded those words for us, and then it gives us so many more ways to pray. Knowing some help to pray in His will. And then we've been given the Holy Spirit as our helper. When we believe, He comes in and lives within us to help us follow Jesus. So much help to ask for God's help. Well, today we're going to focus on the power of prayer. It's really a message that has been really fun to work on because I got to read some really awesome testimonies about prayer. But before we get to that, we ought to be a little honest about this prayer thing here and ask a difficult question. It's the question of prayer. Does it make a difference? Does it have any power? So I ran across this guy on video. He does a little rant about prayer. And it really asks the question pretty well. So let's watch this. So that's the question of prayer. What difference does it make? And I found that video to be pretty challenging. But I also found it to be pretty real. You know, if we're honest, we may not say the words like he did as harshly or boldly, but from time to time, don't we think things like that? Well, I'll tell you, it's nothing new, and it's nothing God hasn't addressed before. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus has this encounter with some people there, and some of that question of prayer is in this scene. Jesus, Peter, James, and John are coming down from the mountain, and they just had this incredible experience together called the Transfiguration, is what we know it. And they're coming down out of that. They go to the other disciples, and there's this crowd that's gathered around, and they're arguing with the scribes about something. And they see Jesus coming, and they all run to Him, and they're excited. And He's like, hey, what's all the fuss? And we're going to pick up our reading here in Mark 9 in verse 17. Kind of right in the middle of it, as the Father comes and tells him what's going on. Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him and went And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. So that's the question of prayer in there, that father's confession that he makes. Jesus says to him, if you can, you know, anything's possible for the one who believes. And the father says, I believe, help my unbelief. And that's the question of prayer. I believe that God hears me. I believe that he answers me, but I also have this unbelief that creeps in from time to time in my life. Just kind of creeps in. So like when I'm faced with a mountain that seems too big to move, or when I pray and nothing seems to be happening, or when I pray and I don't get the answer that I want to get, the question of prayer seems bigger than the answer we're trying to believe in. You know, my emotions get in the way. You know, when I get discouraged or get disappointed, my physical body can get in the way. When I'm too tired or when I'm in pain, physical or spiritual things get in the way. You know, when we fall in sin or when the enemy comes at us hard, all of these scenarios, all of these things make the question of prayer seem bigger than the answer. So the question is, what do we do? What do we do when we're in that help my unbelief? Well, one of my favorite movies is called Rudy. It's been around a while. I'm sure you might have seen it before. But Rudy's this kid who has this dream of playing football at Notre Dame. And he's got some problems to achieve that dream. He's not smart enough to get in the school, let alone good enough to play on the football team. But he says, he just decides he wants to pursue it. So no one at home is in his corner. So along the way, he meets some influential people, some friends that help him in his pursuit. And one of those guys is Father Cavanaugh. And after Rudy tries to get into Notre Dame several times, he's got one more shot. And he finds himself in an empty church in a pew, lifting up his prayers to God. And along comes Father Cavanaugh and sits down beside him. And he says, so you're appealing to a higher power, huh? And Rudy says to him, have I done everything that I can do? And Father Cavanaugh says, son, in the 35 years of religious study, I've come up with only two hard, incontrovertible facts. There is a God, and I am not him. There is a God, and I am not him. You know, there is a ton of evidence that says prayer doesn't work. There's a ton of it. So the challenge for us is to stay in our role and let God do his. You know, the Bible says that his ways are higher than our ways. That's not an excuse to get out of answering the question. That is hard truth for us to remember. God is God, and we aren't always going to know what's going on. He's running the world, and he does it in a way that there's freedom for us. So how does all that come together? I don't know. So we're not always going to know how he does things. We're not always going to know why he does things. And quite frankly, I don't want to know. I don't want a God that I can completely figure out. I didn't hardly pass college. Right? You might have heard the saying, when you don't understand God's plan, trust God's heart. Remind me of that Proverbs verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Pastor Steve had that a few weeks ago. Well, God is love. God is good. God is our Father. We are His children. He knows what we need before we ask Him. He is the giver of all good gifts. He would not withhold something from us if it was good for us to have it at the time we're asking for it. We can trust Him. God knows what He's doing. We can trust that His definition of good is better than our definition of good. We can trust Him that He will keep His promises. We can trust Him to take care of us. Cast all your cares on the Lord because He cares for you. We can trust Him. And so the challenge is to stay in our role and let God do His role. And so that takes faith. So we walk by faith and not by sight. But that darn sight starts beating up our faith because we see things and we're like, that's a big mountain, God. How are we going to work this out? I'm feeling these circumstances. I can see them. I can feel them. But faith is, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith is confidence in God. So our faith takes a beating. So when things get tough like that, when the question seems bigger than the answer, then I want to suggest to you to look to Jesus and what He says here about prayer, the very end of this scene. He testifies that prayer works. He answers His disciples, this kind of spirit can only come out by prayer. That is a testimony, a witness from the Son of God that prayer does make a difference. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, in the King James Version, it says it just a little bit differently at the end of that. It says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Did you know that when your faith gets weak, you can live on Jesus' faith? You can do this life on the faith of Jesus. Me and Pastor Hubert looked at that one time and we were like, that sounds a lot better than walking by my faith. I want to walk by Jesus' faith. This is a lot stronger. Small difference in wording there, but a huge impact when it comes to the question of prayer. When we can't walk by our faith, we can walk by His. So we stay in our role, let God do His thing, and walk by Jesus' faith. Now, I got another big question to introduce to you this morning. This is big. This is huge. Have you ever wondered what the difference was between affect and effect? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, even if you went and looked it up and read what the difference was, you still can't remember it. So when you're using the word affect or effect, you're wondering, am I doing this right? Well, I'm going to try to help with that this morning, give you a little bit of information about that. I might confuse you too, so if I got it wrong, but I think I got it right, okay? So affect, when it's used as a verb, it means to produce a change in something, okay? And when it's used as a noun, I can't really explain to you what it means. Really? It's too hard. So I'm not even going to try. But boil it down, it's something that goes on inside of you, okay? An effect, when it's used as a verb, means to bring about an outcome. And as a noun, it can simply mean a result. Okay? So prayer does make a difference. There is an affect to prayer, and there is an effect to prayer. So the affect of prayer is something that goes on inside of you. And there's four of them that I thought of, at least four. There may be some more. Four effects happening from your praying. The first one is prayer changes your wishing into waiting. Changes your wishing into waiting. James 1, 5 and 6 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So, with that tension of letting God be God and us be His servants, and that I believe, help my unbelief, keeping that in mind, when we pray, we're not just wishing upon a star. You know, I hope it doesn't rain today. I wish the Colts would make the Super Bowl. You know, we're not just wishing. We're taking our request to a good God who hears them and who gives generously to all without finding fault. So we believe that God will answer. And when we get there, then that changes our wishing into waiting. Waiting for Him to answer. Now, ever since we started meeting in this building, I've had really what's a wish that Meyer would hand over the building to us. That not only the building, but the whole property. I mean, I pray about it. But really what I've been doing is just kind of wishing. Just been kind of wishing for it. Wishing that they would do that. But lately, my wishing has turned into waiting. Because of some things I've read in the Word and some confirmations that God has given me. And I find myself waiting for something good to happen here. I've had more faith than I have ever had for this property. And so my prayers changed. It changed from, Meyer, give us the ground, to God, give us the ground. And that has caused some pretty awesome excitement, some stuff going on inside of me, an affective prayer, walking the property, calling out to God, claiming every grass, blade of grass, bug, bird, you name it. I've asked God for it. Just Friday, for the second time, trip around. Takes about 20 minutes. You can do it too if you want to. Call out to Him, because we're not wishing, we're waiting. We're waiting for Him to work. Prayer also changes your weakness into strength. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, waiting for the Lord is not a do-nothing activity. It is saturated with prayer. As we lift up our request to Him and we are waiting for Him to act, that is something that is involved in waiting on the Lord. And when we do that, there is an effect going on inside of us. Because God is an everlasting God, because He is the Creator, because He has all the answers, as we spend time lifting up our requests, waiting on Him to come through for us, He takes our tired hearts, tired of working, tired of suffering, tired of pain, tired of trying to keep our heads above water, He takes those tired hearts and He breathes into them new strength. Strength for one more day. One more day to keep waiting. One more day to keep seeking Him in prayer. It's another effect of prayer that goes on inside of you. Prayer changes your anxiety into peace. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's a great verse. I always thought that verse meant that when we lifted up our worries to God, that His peace would come in such a way it would just blow us away. We wouldn't be able to describe it. It would surpass all understanding because, you know, we got this amazing peace. That's not what it means. What it means is when we lift our worries up to God, when we know that we have lifted them up, when we stop worrying. You know, we feel His peace when we're not worrying anymore. And so what that looks like is, see, when we know that God has it, that relieves the burden for us to have it. And it opens us up to receive His peace. And so when we receive His peace, we don't have to understand it anymore. Because we know He's got it. That's an effect. An affect of prayer. There's one more. Prayer changes your output into a witness. Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Prayer changes you. It changes you. When you spend time with Jesus in conversation, and that has an impact on you. God is at work in your heart. Jesus said, out of the mouth, the overflow of the heart speaks. So the more time you spend with Jesus, He changes what comes out of you. And then that becomes a witness to this world that we live in. You know, there, Peter and John, they were just fishermen, ordinary men, unschooled, and they were doing battle with the religious elite. And they saw that. They were standing up to those men with boldness and with confidence. And it came from their time they spent with Jesus. Same thing for us. It's a little bit different, but it's the same. Time with Jesus in prayer gives us a witness that people will notice. See, when the circumstances that everyone can see should dictate that we act a certain way, and we don't act that way, people start scratching their head. What's up with that dude? I mean, there's peace instead of worry. There's patience instead of frustration. There's hope instead of gloom and doom. There's faith instead of fear. That's what comes out of you. Now, I would say this. If that is not happening in your life, something is wrong. Maybe the faith you think you have isn't real faith. Or maybe the praying that you're doing, that you think you're doing, isn't really praying. How can I say such things? Because there is an effect to prayer that happens in every born-again believer's life when it's real. Every born-again believer has his testimony in some way. So, is prayer affecting you? If it's not, why not? And that could be the most important question you answer from this whole series on prayer. Is it affecting you? Now, prayer just doesn't just have this effect on the inside of us. Prayer has an effect on the outside of us. Prayer changes the world. And we've got examples all over the Bible of how that happened. Here's an Old Testament example, 2 Kings chapter 19. Hezekiah receives this letter from the king of the Assyrians, and they've been going around the countryside, decimating nations with their army. And so in verses 14 to 19, it reads like this. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. God heard that prayer, and that night sent an angel of the Lord to decimate 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. And Israel never went to battle. An effect of prayer. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 16 is an example. Paul and Silas, they got thrown into prison because they cast out a demon from a girl who was making money for a couple guys, and they got mad, so they said, have them arrested. So they're in jail. In verses 25 and 26, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Now we don't get the content of their prayer, but we see the effects. The ground shook enough to open the doors of the prison and their bonds fell off. And the jailer thinks that everyone was gone. And so he gets ready to kill himself and Paul stops him. And he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul tells him, "Believe in Jesus and you and your whole household can be saved." So because there was a prayer meeting at midnight in this jail, a jailer went from death to life, he and his whole family. An effect of prayer. All over the Bible. But you know, we read things in the Bible and we go, this stuff doesn't happen today. What about today? Does prayer work today? Are there effects of prayer today in our world, like this moment? Well, I know that you know the answer to that, but I want to give you some testimonies to help strengthen your answer. Pete Charpentier of Hammond, Louisiana, he wrote down this effect of prayer. He says, "Perhaps the cool and crisp air of Huancayo, Peru should have signaled to our mission team that God was about to do something special." Says the local Peruvians informed us that a strike was being organized by those who serve the nation's Department of Local Transportation, and it might take place on the first day of our mission trip, the day we were supposed to get started. So at best, the strike would limit our work. At worst, we would have to walk a mile to get to the mission project, putting our mission team in danger, because in Peru, there was dangers lurking around every corner. Having heard the discouraging news, the men of the mission team decided to walk the streets of Huancayo and ask God for a miracle. We walked, we prayed, and we waited. The next day, the strike did indeed take place across the entire country of Peru. Yeah. I'm just glad you know where my allegiance lies. The next day, the strike indeed did take place across the country of Peru, everywhere except Huancayo. God demonstrated his power in a miraculous, mysterious way. There was no other explanation except for the power of prayer. It reminded me of how God protected his people from one of the plagues that he sent to the Egyptians. In Exodus 10:20-23, God drapes a thick blanket of darkness over all of the land of Egypt, but he shielded his people with light so they could move about freely. Thousands of years later, he writes, he made a way for a small missions team to move through Huancayo freely, demonstrating his power when the rest of the country was restricted by this transportation strike. He says, "I'll never forget the miracle in Peru. It's another clear and constant reminder that God works in amazing, unexpected ways all over the world. For us, it's an effect of prayer." Here's another one. Another one. Read this in a Family Life Today devotional. There was a couple who was childless by their 10th anniversary. And on the days that they allowed themselves to think about having a baby, they would think about the names that they might call their child. And so the couple could agree on a boy name. But when it came to a girl name, they disagreed. The wife liked Autumn and the husband liked Amanda. So time goes on and they decide that they need to go for plan B. And so they decide to adopt siblings. And so they put their name, got the process going, and they started to pray. They started to pray for God's perfect will. They started to pray that God would match them up with just the right kids from just the right situation. Well, the adoption agency calls one day and they have news of two sisters, ages 3 and 5, that had been relinquished by their mother. Though she wasn't a believer, she asked for them to be placed in a Christian family. And so this couple's name got moved to the top of the list. They asked the social worker something about them, and this is what she said. They are both green-eyed blondes. The 5-year-old is named Autumn, and the 3-year-old is named Amanda. The power of prayer. One more. Chuck Swindoll tells the story of this conversation he has with a Christian leader who went to Uganda to start a new ministry there for the Navigators. So this man tells Swindoll that after much prayer and discussion, he and his wife were convinced that God wanted them to move to Uganda to start the new ministry. So they uprooted their family and they flew over to Africa and landed in Kenya. He put his family up in a hotel and rented a Land Rover, drives over the border to Uganda to start checking things out, to do a little exploration. He says, one of the first things that caught my attention was when I came to the village where I was going to spend my first night, were the several young people standing around with automatic weapons shooting them up into the air. As I drove by, they stared at me and pointed their guns. So naturally, I started to wonder, is God in this move? So finally, after a long day of exploring Uganda, he pulls into a dingy, dimly lit hotel. He goes inside to the registration counter where a clerk who hardly speaks English tells him that there's one bed available. He walks up two flights of stairs, goes into the room, and he turns on the bare light bulb that was in the room, and he sees two beds there. One of them is made, the other one is unmade. And all of a sudden, he realizes, I'm sharing this room with somebody else. And a chill ran down his spine. And he was in need of the kind of encouragement that only God can give. So he says, I dropped to my knees and I said, Lord, look, I'm afraid. I'm in a country I don't know, in a culture that's totally unfamiliar, and I have no idea who's sleeping in that bed. Please show me that you are in this move. He said, just then, just as I was finishing my prayer, the door swings open and there stands a 6'5" African frowning at me, saying in beautiful British English, what are you doing in my room? I kneeled there for a moment and then I muttered, they gave me this bed. I'm only going to be here for one night. What are you doing in my country? The African asked. Well, you see, I'm from this organization called the Navigators. Ah, the Navigators? Suddenly, this tall African breaks out into an enormous grin. He throws his arms around this guy, his new roommate, picks him up, starts dancing around the room. Praise God! Praise God! Said the African. For 2 years, I have prayed that God would send someone to me from this organization. And he pulls out a little scripture memory pack. And on the bottom of every scripture, it says, from the Navigators in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Are you from Colorado Springs, Colorado? Yes. But I'm here to start a new ministry for the Navigators. Well, that Ugandan ended up on the board of the Navigators. And he helped this American family find a place to live, learn the language, and became one of the best friends that this American leader ever had. Now that is the power of prayer. The power of prayer. There are tons more examples. There's examples that we could talk about in this group of people right here where God has come through. In fact, you are sitting in a building that is an effect of prayer. We didn't know where we were going to go when we started the church. We asked God to open the Red Sea, and this is right where He led us. Free rent for 6 years. Only God can do that. So even though we struggle with, I believe, help my unbelief, prayer does make a difference. There's an effect to prayer. He changes us. He makes us more like Jesus. He fills us with His Spirit. He uses our witness in the world. There's an effect to prayer. Prayer changes the world. Story after story of believers seeking the face of God, calling down His grace and mercy, and Him responding to us with unbelievable, unmistakable answers. That is the power of prayer. Now I'm going to have Pastor Mike come back up, and I thought, to close a series on prayer, the best thing that we can do is pray. So take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 8. This is where we should end, because it doesn't end here. Revelation chapter 8, it is a description of the end of the world using the trumpets version. Okay? And the first five verses of this chapter, before the trumpets sound, is important for us as believers who believe in prayer. It's important for us to remember this. So let me read this to you. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashings of lightning, and an earthquake. Now what that is telling us is that all of our prayers are being collected. They're all being collected and they're being held for when the time comes when God's rule and reign will come and be established on this earth. And so our prayers, all the prayers that we have prayed, all the prayers that we have prayed for help, all the prayers that we have been unanswered because it wasn't the right time or because of our brokenness, all the prayers of come Lord Jesus are going to be answered and they're going to be used to usher in the kingdom of God when it's all done. And we need to remember that because we're still waiting. So Mike's going to sing over us while we go together in prayer to God. And the words of the song, just let it be your prayer, your confession to God that we want to be faithful while we wait for Him. Let's pray. Stand before the Lord. Lord, we confess our desire to see you, to see your face. We're reminded this morning that there is a day coming soon that, as far as we know, is a day of waiting. We desire to be faithful. Faithful witnesses for Jesus in the world. Faithful to seek you first through prayer. Faithful to walk through our days in your presence, leaning on you for everything that we need. You are the everlasting God, the Creator. You do not grow faint or weary. You give strength to the powerless. Even though young men grow faint and weak, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and rise up with wings like eagles. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for your presence to us. Thank you for the open invitation to talk to you and hear from you. Lay your hands upon each one of us and help us to grow in our lives of prayer. Help us to become that house of prayer you desire your church to be. Help us, Lord, be your bold witnesses as we go out today that people would say they have been with Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, Amen.